نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. In the previous lesson we spoke about the food of the jinn that they eat with their left hands. They also, if we don't say Bismillah and eat, they partake of our meals. The next topic is, the question is whether the jinnat, they marry like us, like human beings, and do they have a progeny and children like we do as human beings? So the majority of the scholars say that the jinnat marry like we marry. They have children like we have children. And in support of this view, they use the Quranic verse that says, لَمْ يَتْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ, that Allah says regarding the women of Jannah, Allah says, whom neither men or jinn has touched before. So if jinn were incapable of marrying or having relations, their mention alongside human beings would have been meaningless. So Allah is describing the lady, women of Jannah, and say they've been untouched by both men and jinn, which means both have the capacity of touching them or have been intimate with them. So from here we establish that the jinn do marry like we, very much like we do. The next question is, do they have progeny? Do they have offspring? Do they have children? So the verse of the Quran says, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِي, that will you then take him, that is Shaitan, and his offspring as allies besides me? In other words, that Shaitan has offsprings very much like we human beings have offsprings. So we learn from here that the jinnat or the marry like we do, and they procreate, they have children like very much like human beings do. The next question is, where is the dwelling place? Where do they stay? Where do the jinnat stay? So we did previously that they live in a different world parallel to ours. We cannot access their world. We can't go into the world of the jinnat, but the jinnat can come into our world, and they do all the time. And Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you go to the toilet, read the following dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith, that, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the male and the female shayateen. In other words, one of the places that the shayateen frequent is the toilet places. And therefore Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, read this dua before you enter the toilet. Scholars also indicate that the jinn, primarily when they leave their abode and come into this world, they primarily stay amongst the ruins, or they stay in desolate places, places that are not inhabited, houses that people know haven't used, or in unclean places, napak places. So these are some of the places that the shayateen frequent. There's another hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that if you can, do not be the first to enter the marketplace, the malls or the shops. Do not be the first to enter the marketplace, and do not be the last to leave it, for they are the places of shayateen, and therein he, Shaitan, raises his banner. So Imam Nawawi, commenting on this hadith, says that firstly, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that they are the battlefields, the marketplaces are the battlefields of shayateen, he says they've been described as such because of frequent deception and dishonor, a dishonesty in doing trade, in false oaths that people take in the marketplace, in greed and rivalry, in the neglect of dhikr, and the mixing of sexes that takes place. So shaitan raising his banner means this is where his influence is strongest, in the marketplace. And so one of the places that they frequent is the marketplaces, the shops, the malls, etc. Also, the devils or the shayateen live in the same houses in which we live, which people live in. And you can stop them from entering or repel them from your houses by taking the name of Allah. And in particular, if they're already occupying these places, then you read Surah Al-Baqarah and you read Ayat Al-Kursi to actually drive them out from places where they shouldn't be, from your homes, which they have. Ibn Hajar says, Shaitan himself has acknowledged the protective power of Ayat Al-Kursi. If you remember, we did the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. He was put in charge of the grains of the storehouses, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him there will be a visitor coming, and Shaitan came in the form of a man and took tried to take away grain. And on the third occasion, Shaitan told Abu Huraira that I will teach you something that will protect you from the influence of Shaitan. And he told him, read Ayat al-Kursi before going to bed. So Shaitan himself affirmed the protective power of Ayat al-Kursi. So the second place, or not third, the third possible place where they loom and frequent is our very houses. So it's napak places, toilets, the marketplaces, our homes. Also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that the devils, the shayateen, they spread out and roam about increasingly when darkness first falls. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us to bring your children into your homes at Maghrib time. This is the the time of sunset. Shaitan and the his entourage move around very freely. This is the transition period between day and night, and children are more susceptible or can be influenced greater by the movement of shayateen at that time. And therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, keep your children indoors during the time of Maghrib's Salah. And there are certain occasions when shaitan flees from the proximity. And one such occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is when the adhan is given. Shaitan can't bear to hear the words of the adhan, and he flees the proximity or the area in which adhan is given. SubhanAllah wa bihamdihi.